and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. With me, as always, are Chris Patterson, Al Kellogg and Rachel Malcolm. This weekend sees the return of professional rugby in Scotland as Glasgow Warriors take on Edinburgh at BT Murrayfield. So our guests this week are captains Ryan Wilson and Stuart McAnally.
I'll come to you first, Ryan. How you doing, mate? Been a while since we spoke to you, but how you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. All back training. As I said earlier, just sat in a marble yard at the moment, waiting to go and pick a kitchen worktop. So if we can keep this quick, it'd be lovely.
And Rambo, where are you?
I'm just in the house. Yeah, we trained this morning. It's horrendous. It was horrendous weather this morning. I don't think it was dry for a single minute of training. But yeah, all fine. Good to be back. Better than being in lockdown and stuff. So yeah, no, it's good to be out there.
We've seen on your social media that you've done a lot of work on your house. How far along is the house now? Is it almost done?
It depends if my wife's going to listen to this or see this. Yes, it's nearly done. But really, no, we're nowhere near.
It's looking good from outside, Brian. I walked past it just last week. It didn't seem to be all that much.
The small problem of not having windows out, that's the only thing at the moment. Yeah. And a staircase, but the kids will love that.
Yeah, it'll toughen them up.
Get some ropes.
We're getting there. We're getting there slowly but surely. The old rugby's got in the way a bit, but
you've had a few of the boys helping you, I think, haven't you?
I have, yeah. Only when allowed at social distancing, etc., etc. But no, a couple of the boys have been on site helping out, which Danny's obviously loved. a couple of nails in the bottoms of feet and stuff like that. But no, we're all good. Yeah, the boys have been helping out.
Are you project manager, Wilson?
Yeah, I like to get my hands dirty, Mossy, but yeah, I would say I'm project manager at the moment. I had to take a step away the last few weeks, which is killing me, but it's all good. We're all good.
Ryan mentioned there about rugby coming back. You know, you guys have been back in training for a couple of weeks now. How excited are you to finally get going in ahead of this weekend?
Yeah, we are excited. It's a funny one. You think back to like the last time we were involved in rugby was that week of the Six Nations, wasn't it? Where us sort of all just came to a head and that, and then suddenly we were in lockdown and that was it. And that was a good sort of, 4 or 5 months ago now? So it's like actually not played rugby in 5 months. We did 4 weeks of training, just doing weights and sort of straight line running. We weren't allowed to touch a ball or anything like that while the certain restrictions were in place. And then we've had 4 weeks of training where we've had to try and cram a lot of stuff in that the coach would normally take a lot longer doing. So, it's been good. It's been different to like a normal preseason. It certainly feels a bit more rushed and that you're just trying to make sure you get through all your stuff without, you know, doing too much that you're risking injury, but making sure you do enough that we're going to be prepared. So, it's been good. Really, really enjoy getting back and definitely glad it's game week again. Like, boys have been going hard in training, so it's nice that we get a bit of normality back into game week. We know what that's like with Edinburgh, and our weeks are pretty structured like that. So yeah, everyone's looking forward to getting out again this week.
Does it feel like a normal game week? I know it's the beginning of the season, so take that out to one side. But just with everything else that's going on, and you know the fact that you've got to be, you know, taken into account all the essential advice, does it feel like a normal week for you boys at the moment?
Yes and no. I think so. It's just so different to what we're used to in terms of how we prepare. Like, obviously, there's nothing allowed inside for us at the moment at Murrayfield. Everything's outside, so our, you know, hanging around after set, like in between sessions, is done just sort of in areas outside the gym where we can be outside and maintain distancing and stuff like that. So it's just different, but at the same time, it does feel normal in a way. Now we're back training, and we're training properly again. Like, we're obviously all getting tested on a regular basis, so we all know we're good to go on that front. And yeah, like training, like I alluded to there, our training weeks at Edinburgh into games are pretty standard. We know exactly what we're doing on a Monday, Tuesday, and so on. So I guess the more we get into this week, the more it'll feel back to normal, and then yeah, the game will be the game, I suppose.
We spoke to one or two that the lads about testing and obviously the necessity of it, but it's not a hugely pleasurable experience, Ryan, is it?
Some blokes are really good at it, which is slightly worrying. But no, I don't enjoy it at all. The one up the beak, the tickling of the eyeballs, pretty hideous.
Oh.
Now that we've got that one over and done with on a Monday, yeah, I think, like Rambo says, things will go back a bit to normal because we get tested on a Monday morning. So we all have to social distance again. And it all goes back to the normality, well, the new normality of making sure we stay, you know, distance from each other and no touch and all that sort of stuff at rugby, which it's, you know, it's not easy to do. And then once we're back tomorrow, we get all our tests passed off, then we can get back to a normal week. So then it will start to feel normal again. But yeah, it has been a strange one. We're doing our meetings outside, like I'm sure the boys at Edinburgh are. So we have to stop every time a train goes past. You know what it's like, how they give the old toot the horn and Danny just stands there just shaking his head. There's just another little thing just saying, no, not everything's back to normal yet. We're having to wait for the train to go past. I'm pretty sure they honk the horn just to really, really get us going. So,
does it mean the meetings are shorter? Sometimes those meetings inside can drag on and on and on. Does it mean they're shorter? You get them over and done when you get out the pitch?
Sure, yeah. When it's raining as well. When the side with rain, the rain's coming in, yeah, we speed them up differently.
You guys were a bit later getting back into Scotland, so how's training been kind of with that change of venue and stuff and getting back into stuff at Scotland?
Yeah, it's been nice to get back there. Travelling over to Murrayfield wasn't great. There's a lot of moans, as you can imagine. But then when we got into Orium, it got better. It got more normal and then slowly, finally got back to Scotland, which is brilliant to be back there. And yeah, things feel a little bit more normal. For the guys, Fraz is moaning again because he's driving back through from Edinburgh, so that's back to
normal.
He was enjoying
Murrayfield, was he not? Nice,
yeah,
quick
exactly.
To get there.
I've never seen such a happy Fraz in my life, but now we're back to normal.
Well, you mentioned Fraz Ryan, a bit of news out today that you and Fraser will be co-captains, not just for the remainder of last year but for the next season as well. You'll be looking forward to captain the club again.
Yeah, no, certainly, you know, always an honour for me. And like I said, always with Cal, you know, when we were doing it together, it makes things a lot easier. And I enjoy the whole co-captain side of things. Takes the pressure off a little bit and gives you someone that you can bounce stuff off. So you're sort of going through the same stuff. So no, it'd be a good new challenge. Trying to keep Fraz upbeat, but we'll be all good.
That's going to be my question. What's going to be the differences from co-captain with Fraser Brown than it will be from Callum Kibbins? But probably you've answered it already. It'll be trying to keep Fraz smiling, will it?
Yeah, no. Listen, he's a brilliant guy to have on off the field as well. He brings completely different sides to what Cully brought. And me and Cully were pretty similar, so it's two probably more different blokes going at it. So I know which one will be the more serious out of the two for us.
Who's your
lieutenant?
Your go-to? What's your leadership team look like? You got big Gilko there, and other guys have a lot of experience.
Yeah, Gilko's son. I looked a lot. He obviously handles the line out for us, so he's pretty important. Nick Groom as well, who's come in last year. He's very good to bounce ideas off someone who's been around a few clubs as well. So he's got a good idea of sort of what looks good and what doesn't, and what works, and his tactical stuff's really good as well. So a lot of the time, I spend my time in the front row and head down scrummaging, and Groomy takes on a lot of that, and Henry as well, Henry Purgos, whichever one of them's playing, they both help out on the leading and tactical side as well. So nah, I'm well looked after at Edinburgh as well.
And we'll obviously both squads will have new faces, have faces that weren't around last year. They'll face some faces that were around aren't, and I know we're finishing off last season, but in terms of the new faces and around your clubs, will we see a big involvement from them over the next 2 weeks?
Nobody's
on a Monday. On a Monday.
It is game week. Every card's a close to the chest.
You know what I mean, though? It's the culmination of last season with a different squad. So it's...
And it's Derby week.
And it's Derby week. And there's so much riding on it. Usually
I was thinking that. Like, you know, like, for example, when you saw Johnny playing down at Exeter,
yeah,
Johnny could win a premiership title for playing four games.
Four games.
He smashed it.
Unbelievable.
It's such a strange one, isn't it? Like, when you're finishing off season with a different squad, now everybody, once a whistle goes and you're on the field, it's fine, but I assume you're maybe treating it more like the start of a new season than the end of a last. But for Edinburgh, you know, I assume it'll be more important for you to really focus on treating it as the end of last season. Would that be right?
Yeah, we have spoke a lot about it because it does have the feel of a new season. Certainly the way we've been preparing and the pre-season aspect of it, that we've had to go away and come back and get ourselves up to sort of game mode again. It's all we've known is that after that, it's the start of a new season. So you do have to constantly remind, we have got to constantly remind ourselves, you know, we're playing for semi-finals and more. So, it's great for me, Edinburgh as well. It's something I've not really... over the last, I've been here 10 plus years now, I've probably been in one quarter final. So it's something that's really exciting for us. We actually have a chance to really go for something and play and hopefully get to the semi-finals and further. You're right, it's different because normally after a break, you always have the feel of it's a new season, you can maybe work your way into it. You've got a couple of warm-up games to get into the season, whereas this year there's no warm-up games. We're straight into back-to-backs with Glasgow and then hopefully further games. So just kind of, we had a little internal game last week and that's all you can really do is just prepare yourself that way and then see what happens at the weekend.
How do you approach that with such a big block of kind of big games, like you say? Is it game at a time? Is it a chunk of games? Have you kind of broken it down a little bit?
Not really. We can't really afford to look past these two games because we know that we're not in the semi-finals yet. We're in a great position. The boys have played a lot for us this year. Put us in a great spot on the table, but you know, ultimately we could still not get there. So it's just got to be game at a time. It's got to be game at a time. And like part of like my career as well has taught me that over the years, that if you start looking too far ahead and you start talking about getting a home semi or where we might play the final, all that, it's pointless unless you get there. You just lose focus. So, yeah, we'll always be treating this game first and then the next game, and then we'll see where we're at after that.
And there is still a chance for Glasgow to reach a semi-final. It's an outside chance, Ryan, but you still have to hold on to that. And I suppose it takes pressure off in some ways from Glasgow. You can really just go after it and chase that win.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, we've got other things we've got to go our way with Ulster not having anything. So, like for us, Rambo says, we've got to see where we go after the first game. We'll see where we are, see where we're placed, see what other teams have done, and then approach it from there. But, there's going to be some tired bodies on Sunday, I can tell you that. five, six months out, and then a derby clash should be pretty sore the next day. Yeah.
What about the derby element then, Ryan? What about the rivalry? Because maybe most of you will disagree with me, but it's not a normal week. It's a Glasgow-Edinburgh week, and everything that comes around about it, there's more interest. There's more interest because it's the first game back. That's extra hype. How do you deal with that? You won't have your mate John Barclay on the other side this year to send abusive text messages over. Maybe you still are. But what part does the rivalry element play in it for you?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge for us. And it's something that, again, Monday we've not managed to talk about because it's not been a very normal day today. But it's something that gets built into the week and we have to talk about it. And obviously there's a lot of new coaching staff at Glasgow and a lot of fresh faces there. But you've got people like Kelly that has come back in and, you know, he's been part of some of those big battles. So he'll be getting his saying there and telling us what it means, and there's plenty of guys there have been involved in them before, so obviously it's always an awesome occasion, so looking forward to it. But again, strange one with no fans there, no crowd. That's my slight worry, is everyone will be able to hear what I'm saying on the field. Have Hamish Watson moaning at me again, Mike Adamson trying to calm him down.
You won't be talking in the field, Ryan. there'll be none of that speech, please.
No way, never.
It's a chuckle for them.
Rams.
I just played you too many times to know when you're being serious or when you're not.
Did you watch the games? Obviously, the Premiership down south is a week ahead and started last weekend. And the big, I suppose, talking point, we may talk about it later as well, is the new laws, but the enforcement of the laws around the breakdown. I think it was on average about 30 per game. Did you take in any of the game, and did you try and look at it to learn, or try and look to see how the players, you're talking about being exhausted after 5 months, I saw guys stretching their calves after about 35 minutes, never mind 70 minutes. So, did you see any of the games?
Yeah, Wilson, have you got Sky in the new house yet, or what? All linked up?
I was on Channel 5.
It was, yeah.
It's on Channel 5, man. I'm on the 5, don't worry.
I saw a bit of the Exeter game. I watched that, and it was... You know what? There was a lot more penalties. I mean, that's the obvious thing. However, like, a lot of them were right, and it's kind of what we've been, as players, you've been speaking about for years, about, you know, you could give a penalty at every breakdown because the laws were getting a little lax in terms of what was, you know, acceptable and what wasn't allowed, the clear outs and turnovers and stuff like that. So they're just been really hot on it. I think it's great.
Have you spoken about it in training?
It's definitely been mentioned because you have to adapt to it. And we've had, you know, the opportunity to watch the Super Rugby and obviously the first round of the Premiership as well. So you can see how hot they're being on it. And a lot of stuff you were maybe getting away with last year at the contact area, you're not going to get away with this year. So, it'll be whichever team can adapt best. You have to address it because it is being refereed a lot differently to when we last played rugby.
And driving malls as well. So I don't know whether that... Moss, you'll be able to tell us whether that's been a directive. But
I might have guessed you'd have brought us back to driving malls.
Well, they went
went straight under the post for a penalty trying a yellow card first time, which is unheard of. Stuart, we'll have a sensible chat about rugby. Is that something that you guys have looked at as well?
What, malls, Edinburgh? Come on now.
There's been a couple of malls in our training so far. I was the same as you. Yeah, they gave the penalty, and then this, like, was it Leicester got a penalty try as well?
Yeah.
Off of it. So yeah, I don't. We've not discussed too much about how they're going to referee the malls, but they're obviously looking for less resets, and certainly that was what they're trying around scrum time. Like, they want to keep the game going that way. So. We just don't know. Like, it's our first game playing. It's the Pro 14's referees. It's their first time reffing. So each of them will have their own interpretation of how they want to do it. We don't really know. We just have to be open to adapting on the day as well. And like I said, like, both teams are going to have to adapt to the referee because they're going to have their view on how they want to impose these laws. And we just have to get on board with it.
On your mate, we mentioned him earlier on, but... Sir John Barclay announces his retirement. I saw you put some nice things about him on social media. A little bit about the time that you've spent with him, both as a teammate and in the opposition.
It was just he's always getting to see, isn't it? And I know Box, and you know him pretty well, Al. He could definitely have gone on for another couple of years. Even though his body was falling to bits, he would have, doesn't train much in the week, but put him out in the field at the weekend. He was outstanding, wasn't he? So, it's a difficult one with the whole COVID stuff. And I spoke to him and he said, no, he feels happy about it. But I even feel sad for him because you feel it was the last time we played together was obviously over in Japan. I think it was that game against, Russia? So that would have been his last outing, it wasn't to be anymore. So I'm sure he'll do well whatever he does. He always lands on his feet, always gets a few good freebies. He's been throwing some bits out there already. Incredible. So he'll go all right. I know he will. But yeah.
It's a tough way to finish, isn't it? Like, we spoke about it in a podcast, probably April, May time. It's sad for the guys who are either moving on clubs. You mentioned Johnny Gray as an example, or retiring. They don't get that opportunity because the end of the season, yes, is about competing, about trying to win things. It's also an opportunity to say goodbye at times as well, and they've not had that. So I agree with you, Ryan. I think it is tough, but I also agree that I think John will go on and he'll do well. He's going to do well. Rambo, you played with him a fair amount as well. You know him well. Will you try and get the likes of John and these guys back involved? You've got potentially a huge finish to your season. Will you try and get them back and bring them in to be part of that journey? Have you talked about that yet?
No, yeah, but it's definitely something. It's definitely something that's on the cards because there has to be a way of recognising these guys, not only John but all the players that moved on. And John's one that's retired, and when we can and when you know, when things allow, there'll definitely be something we try and do, is bring John back and bring the others back as well and actually give them a proper send-off, because it's quite upsetting actually seeing the way that a lot of players just had to leave the club, and there was no, you can have an end-of-season dinner where you traditionally would get up and thank each other. You can do bits and bobs over Zoom, but, you know, it's not, nothing's like actually, you know, getting everyone in a room together and having a drink and celebrating with each other, especially like John's career, everything he's achieved. And like Ryan said, he's going to go on and he'll be fine, whatever he does end up doing. But it's funny, I read an article he wrote as well, and he was talking about how it wasn't a fairy tale finish, but the whole, you know, his whole career was a fairy tale. So it's good that he's got that aspect, like that outlook on how his career did go. He'd obviously like to have finished on better circumstances, but, you know, he's had a great career. He's achieved probably more than he ever thought he would. And yeah, we look forward to getting him back into Edinburgh at some point and sort of congratulating him on his career that way as well.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about him a little bit later, but he's had a tremendous career. Makes me feel even older, because he was, I think, a schoolboy when he came into the squad when I was playing as well. So that's a generational move, really. But if you were to achieve something successful this year, Ramble, these guys would still be part of that squad because it's still part of the old season. So would they be recognised with medals, or I assume they would?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I hope so. Yes. I mean, anyone who's sort of played and been part of the squad that's helped us. Well, if you look at where the position we are now, is because of what the guys did who were all in contract with us last season, and some of them have moved on. You look at just named John for one, Matt Scott for another, who's, you know, done well and gone down to Leicester. But yeah, like they have to be recognised, in my opinion. You know, they've been part of creating the position we're in, and if we do manage to get further and win it, they of course they're part of that. So again, this is all, we'll hopefully deal with that when the time comes. But yeah, they're certainly not just forgotten about just because they've left and they're out of contract, for example.
What about the new lads then, guys? What about the guys that have come in? You mentioned Johnny Gray going to Exeter. There'll be new guys joined your squad. Anybody standing out? You don't need to give us any hints or tips about who might be playing. Ryan, we'll go with you directly. We have Richie Gray. How's big Richie? Is he all right? Is he done with Johnny?
He's slotted straight back in, and he's moved into his house. I don't know what's happening there with the rent, but he's moved straight back in there. Yeah, it's good to have big Richie back. Odd one, because, God, when I came, what was it, 11 years ago, I remember walking into that, the little port cabins over at White Craigs, because that was obviously, I came to look at the club that year, and he was sat in there on a computer, and then, yeah, it's done full cycle. He's came back in now. It's crazy how it works, but no, he's slotted in well. He's been good coming back. And then we've got some new guys. Enrique, the Argentinian prop. Very quiet bloke. You know, we're waiting to get some stories out of him about Hoggy. I'm sure there will be some. So, there's some good guys coming in. But, yeah, I won't say too much on what happens.
It's just everybody's so eager to play the game, isn't it? As soon as you get a game, you can forge new relationships. You can take the mick out of somebody who does something wrong. You can appreciate the hard work that somebody puts in. So that's what makes this week so special, isn't it? It's getting the bookmark of a game that really brings squads together. And it'll be exciting. Obviously, 1872 Cup to play for as well. It's 1-1. It'll be decided this weekend, I believe. So there's someone else, an internal target there between the two sides to go for that means a lot to the fans as well. Although they won't be there, they'll be whichever set of fans comes out on top, it'll mean something. There'll be a bit of gloating as well. So I think roll on Saturday at 5:15, as far as I'm concerned, so we can.
Yeah, easy for you to say, Mossy.
Oh, it's easy to talk about it, Ryan. It's easy to talk about.
We'll be in the stand somewhere, socially distanced, commenting on it. Going like,
That's literally how I watched the rugby at the weekend. Just like, oh, that looks sore.
I know. Pretending you wish you were still out there.
I might be stretching my calves off after climbing up the stairs at BT Murrayfield. Never mind after 35 minutes of rugby. Hey, so good luck to both of you. Enjoy it.
Good luck, Ryan and Rambo. And we'll get you back on in the near future. Cheers, guys. All the best.
Cheers, guys.
Go well, lads.
Cheers, guys.
Good to hear from from Ryan and Rambo. They're ahead of the big game this weekend. And I was going to ask them the question, but I'll throw it to you guys. This is going to be so different for them as well for a number of reasons, which we talked about. But one question I didn't ask them was around the crowd. You know, how can you prepare to go out to a game when throughout your whole career, professional career, you've had a crowd chanting, you've had the build-up, entertainment, to absolutely nothing? It must be so bizarre for these guys, and so many variables they're going to have to adapt to, surely.
Yeah, the atmosphere not being there will be different. Like, the tendency is in all three of us who have played in front of different sized crowds. And at times, if you play in front of a big crowd and then you go back to playing in front of a smaller crowd, the game can seem a bit flat, because in the flat times, and there will be flat times throughout the game, there's nothing to pick it back up. I mean, we always did talk about the fact, though, that it was up to the players on the park to give the crowd something to cheer about, as opposed to vice versa. But you did play off the crowd at times, so I think it will play a part. But then there is a derby element to it as well, and the boys are playing it quite coy there. They don't want to give anything away. That'll be a build up as well, especially from a Glasgow point of view. We touched on it last week. I think Glasgow need to be focusing on that, because Edinburgh have got a bigger picture to look at than Glasgow to a degree have, or an outside chance of. But I think Glasgow need to be making it personal, make it about the rivalry. And for me, that's their best opportunity to get the right result.
I think, you know, with the crowdless thing, it's a bit of both. I think once the whistle goes and they're playing, you don't notice it so much. But there's the little things, like when we played at Murrayfield with no crowd, it is so weird being able to hear absolutely everything, especially like in an international, obviously at club stuff, we're a bit more used to that in the women's game, but it almost acts as a bit of a distractor. So like usually the crowd almost takes away that distraction and you become more focused. But when you can hear, you know, your team, the opposite team, especially like when you're defending and you can hear literally everyone's voices.
You played England, didn't you, behind closed doors?
Yeah. And I find it actually more distracting than having a loud noise around you.
Although you were concentrating that day on trying to make sure that your fingers didn't fall off from the cold. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a weird day.
I totally agree with what Rach and Al are saying, but I kind of approached it differently. This is going to sound weird and these selfish guys got to come out, but I spent my entire rugby playing career switching off what was going on around about me. I completely and utterly, whether it was full stadium, empty stadium, the reason for performing was for the people that were there, but I didn't let it affect me. So I basically shut everything off as soon as I crossed the line. And I was able to do that because you're so focused on what needs done. But I agree with what the guys are saying, because that's fine when the ball's in play. But if you've got an injury break or 35 seconds before a scrum gets set, or somebody, you know, there's no ball boys, you have to run away and get the ball, and somebody's taken off across the the AstroTurf to get the ball back, there'll be moments where it's like, this is strange, this is different. Yeah. So it is small talk then. Now, that's where you would have noticed the crowd. But when the ball's in play, as I say, I completely shut off what was going on. And you're aware of a wall of noise going up and down audibly, but I'd never, ever, ever let it affect me, because whether it was full or empty, I've just felt this responsibility for me to just drive my own stuff. But
yeah, I agree with that. I think the bit that I noticed, it was always a half, like we used to go on a half lap before the games. You go and do your individual warm-up, and then as a team, this is at Glasgow, do a half lap. And when you did that half lap, that's when you were probably more aware of the crowd than at any other point. The reason you say funny, you switched off from it. I was the same, and my dad's the reason for that, because he's got like the loudest voice in the world. So when, like, whenever I was playing at Anglets or Stirling, not so much when you got the bigger crowds, although you can still hear them when you watch games back. It'd just be this bellow. And he'd like, people would go like, do you not hear your dad shouting? And I'm like, to be honest, I've spent the last 20 years switching off from it. So that probably helped me with the rest of the crowd as well.
So you know, the other thing I thought was interesting, hearing about them chat about the new guys that have come in, because it's quite a strange thing not to have, you know, pre-season, yeah, is about playing rugby and stuff, but a big part of it is when you've got new people coming in is kind of doing that team building stuff, whether it's going on a night out or or actually more specific, like going away on a training camp and getting to know the guys. And it's quite interesting. I find anyway, with us getting back in here, we've got loads of kind of new faces in, and it is a bit weird. They kind of just start appearing on your Zoom calls and don't really get to know them. And it's probably going to be similar to what they're going through, you know, the last 4 weeks beforehand. So I think for them as well, it must be a really strange dynamic with those new guys coming in, for them to actually have that kind of bond before they actually play with them.
Or even just spending time with each other at the club that isn't
it's not happening.
Possible. It's not been happening. But and that's kind of what you're right, Rach. I was hinting that towards there. Once you get a starting point, once there's a reference point, a bookmark of a game, that's where you really start to appreciate the hard work you put in, or you might see someone who just play a way above what you ever expected of their standards, or they might do a selfless act, and that's where the kind of team ethos is created. And it's difficult to do when you're in such a sterile environment as they've been in of late. But one other thing in the crowd as well, Jamie, I just forgot, was I don't necessarily think the first game back will be the problem. I think who knows how long we'll have, hopefully not too long, without, you know, people and fans in. But we played Alan, I think you were away from Edinburgh. We played Cast in the European game with Edinburgh 2008 or 9, and behind closed doors, not a soul. And it was a strange experience, but it was quite a novelty because it was a one-off. I think if these players now are planning on doing it every week, then it's probably going to affect them further down the line than on the first game. There's more than enough to think about in the first game anyway.
Yeah.
It might be 3-4 weeks in a row. You're like, we actually have to find our own ways of creating a bit of buzz here.
Yeah, I think creating the buzz will be important. As I say, you can't feed off anything to do with a crowd, so you need people to be energising all the time, and it can't be the same person. It can't always be...
Just get bored of the same person saying the same thing.
Exactly. You need other voices bringing it in. You need backs coming in and encouraging the followers and vice versa. So,
Steady on, Al. You're going to go down that route of celebrating everything. Celebrating the opposition knocking on, patting each other on the back. You're like, the guy knocked it on. It's not worth celebrating.
Heffing a hair, Tommy Eves, all these guys from the wing in Glasgow. Bernie Stertoni was brilliant at it. If we had a good result in a scrum or a driving maul again, these guys would come running in from 30 metres away and tap you in the back. Say, come on, we'll do it again. You'd turn around sometimes and Mossy wouldn't even be watching you. You'd just be like, just give us the ball so we can get on with quick proper rugby.
Just do your job. I bet, though, retort to that, I bet not all of the forwards would have been like, oh, that was great, thanks Hef, thanks Tom. They'd be like, just let me get my breath back, what do you mean do it again, come on, give me a chance, I'm doing something. That would be their mentality as well.
Rachel, some news with your family, your brother, you know, signing for a team in the States, Dallas, I believe. That's not a bad away trip for you guys, is it?
Yeah, no.
A long weekend.
I was at home for about 5 days just there. And we were chatting, we went through, you know, the teams that he plays against, planning our potential away trip. So, no, yeah, really excited for him. I think it's just a brilliant opportunity to go and play in what's going to be quite an exciting league with all that's happening there. So, yeah, really good.
When does he kick off? Do they know yet over there when he can get going again, or still?
I think it was supposed to be pre-season starting November. But I don't know if that is actually going to be the case. It's a bit up in the air with as everything is. So yeah, hopefully soon. I think he wants to get away. But yeah, no, hopefully soon.
Brilliant. The way he plays, I think it'll be a real success here. Just the dynamism that league potentially has with the athletes it has, the individual athletes it has from other sports and crossing over. I think it'll be a really good opportunity for him to, yeah, show that dynamic side of his game. And hopefully,
yeah,
he's
a bit of a workhorse and an athlete for not for his position, because
yeah,
I shouldn't say that, but no, he does. He plays in the front row a bit like a back row.
Yeah,
and
he's not
like
the only Malcolm that's done that in the past.
Exactly. are you his mentor?
Absolutely not. The other way around. Other way around. But no, yeah, I think he'll fit in well, and he's been at a few different teams over the last couple of seasons, and he always seems to slot in really well wherever he goes. So I'm sure it'll be a great opportunity for him.
Right, well, best luck to him when he finally gets over to the States. need to reflect a little bit on the Premiership, because we had a fair bit of representation down there at the weekend with Exeter and a few others. But good to see, you know, Hoggy getting over the trial line. But anyone else down south or any other teams impress you at the weekend? Did you see any games, Mossy?
I did. I saw...
Of course he did.
Of course I did. I didn't see them all. I didn't see them all. I have a family, but I tried to see most of it. Right. I was excited about rugby returning, as we all are. I enjoyed elements of the game, but I'll be honest, I had to turn two or three of the games off because I got a bit frustrated. This is me being grumpy again, so don't be surprised. I just thought, do you know what? You've had 5 months, almost, or almost 6 months. And I know we spoke about this briefly and maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago in the podcast. You're saying, I wonder if there's something new or if there's going to be creative thinking, or maybe somebody, players, coaches have had 5 months, they'll come up with something different. And I was just, maybe I got my hopes built up thinking we would see some new play, some new structure, some new kind of strategies. But there was little bits of different, but I thought it's just more of the same really. And I was a wee bit disappointed. And I think the stricter application of the law is the right thing, and I think it'll be better for the game. But there was, I think, in the first five games, there were 148 penalties, so average about 35 penalties a game, which disrupted the flow of the game. Adding to that, it's so difficult for the players, because the first game of the season without a warm-up game, as we've been talking about. So I was a wee bit disappointed, actually, with what I saw. Some of it was great, some really good individual bits, but I thought, I just hope we saw something different, and that's my hope for this weekend with against Pro 14 starting. Maybe we will see something different, something a bit more outside the box, something a bit quicker. I got frustrated a wee bit at how long it takes from whistle to whistle. You know, you're not allowed water carriers now. Everybody has to have their own water bottle, but there's still an army of people run on every time the ref blows his whistle, and you're like, just keep the game going. So here's hoping this weekend it's quick and dynamic, and we see something new. But impressive performances from a few people. But it's, as I say, it's difficult first weekend.
Did you make the water break? Was it every 20 minutes they had one?
Yeah, well, apparently it's because you're not allowed. You have to have your own personal water bottle. You can't share water bottles.
Right.
So, in order to make sure everybody,
so you don't get a drink until 20 minutes in.
And I assume unless you go and get it yourself, yeah. But again, I think that's why it's there, to ensure that you do actually get the opportunity. Right? I assume you can nip on and off or go and get it if there's an injury or a break in play. That was the thinking behind it.
Yeah, it's quite a strange concept, because I heard, I watched the Exeter game, and they were saying that the Exeter coach was saying that he's now approaching the game as a coach, as in four quarters. Yeah, which I thought was
quite there was one of the games I was watching, and maybe it was the Exeter one, and I was like, when they decide to go for that water break's quite important, really, because if you're really on a roll and you kick a penalty touch and you've just won a penalty, and as Al's just said, everybody's patting each other on the back, celebrating, and you go to the lineup with momentum, and then it's like, right, okay, water break.
Yeah.
You actually maybe lose that wee bit impetus. I don't know. So I don't know if there's obviously a window around the 20 minutes they can take it, but I wonder if you could say to the referee, no, actually, we'll go, let us do this play, phase, and then we'll go next. It'll be interesting. I don't know.
One person that did stand out in that game for me was Matt Scott. I thought he played excellently in defence, especially a couple of his shots when he was under quite a lot of pressure, and just timed it perfectly. So yeah, that was one player against, for me.
Against a pretty potent attacking weapon.
Yeah. Oh, he had one on Hoggy, which was very impressive. He looked like he was going to get done, and he absolutely nailed his timing. It was really good.
I watched it. It was a good game. I agree, Marty. Would we all think Johnny Gray would be pleased with his first stint?
Definitely.
He's industrious self.
You could just see Johnny desperate to get involved in everything, impose his work rate on everything.
And he will, though. I mean, he'll do well down there. I think Blackman was talking about how good a signing it's a good signing for Exeter to make. Hoggy took his try well, played well. some volume in his hair as well. I mean, that big hair.
We actually commented on that when we were watching. Yeah. He's gone back to his dark colour as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. It was good to get rugby back on. I'm very much looking forward to this weekend. I think that we've been starved of it for so long, and it's big. It's big rugby, big games, derby games. Now the atmosphere might not be there from the crowd, but I expect it will be there from the players. Ryan's playing it right down, but
yes, isn't
Ryan,
he?
Ryan was a guy that just thrived on these games. Some guys love them and the emotional element, and Ryan was one of them. So he'll be building it up as the week goes on, just to get to that point where they can go out and try and ruin Edinburgh's party.
We talked a little bit there about John Barkley in the chat with Rambo and Ryan, but Rich, another retirement was Devs McCormack from the women's team, a great servant to the game. Just give us a little bit of an insight into how much she'll be missed and what she gave to the team.
Oh, she was massive for us. She was someone who very much led by example. When I came into the squad, as a rabbit in headlights, she was someone that very much kind of took me under her wing, alongside a couple other girls that came in around them. And like I say, she was the complete professional, and she put so much into playing for Scotland, and it meant so much to her. So she brought a lot to the shirt, and especially around line-out time, she was one of the kind of key leaders for us there. So she's a big loss. She's had a brilliant career, and again, I'm sure she'll do brilliant in whatever comes next for her.
But I guess with that, though, another door opens for someone else to come through and grab that opportunity. Who's going to step up, do you think, or who's got potential that could fill that void now that she stepped away?
We've got a very good partnership at the moment in the second row with Sarah Bonner and Emma Wassell. They're our kind of double.
You're smiling when you said that.
They're two of my best friends, and they're a bit of a double act. They come as a pair wherever they go, usually making a lot of noise before they get there. But no, they're doing brilliant as a partnership. And again, through kind of coming through with Debs, they learn a lot around kind of leading that line out area. And I'm sure they'll continue to do that for years to come. And we've got a couple other girls who play kind of across both the second row and the back row coming through. So like likes of Louise McMillan played there a bit this year and did really well, particularly against South Africa. Siobhan Cattigan as well has played a little bit there, Christine Belize. So we've got a number of players who have the potential to come into that role. So yeah, it's quite an exciting time for us moving forward with a bit more depth in that second row.
Do you know if Debs is going to stay involved with rugby?
I don't know, actually. I don't imagine she will with Scottish rugby, just because she is based down in London. She plays played a rugby at Harlequins women's team. So potentially she'll stay involved there. She'd be an asset to any kind of line-out coaching set up for sure. But as I say, I'm not 100% certain what her plans are. She is a teacher by trade. So I'd imagine it might involve something along those lines as well.
And before we just go on to John, we have to mention as well, you know, head coach Goose, Philip Doyle, he's stepped aside, and Brian Easton comes through, you know, who we all know will do a great job. But just a quick word on Goose and your experience of working with him over the past seasons.
Goose is a character. From the day he arrived, you know, he was all guns blazing, and that was exactly what we needed this season. And he was brilliant. The girls really got on well with him and just bought into exactly what he was trying to achieve with us. And that's the kind of thing, I think, with the person like Goose, is you kind of have to buy in, or else, you know, you're not going to keep up. And he created an incredible culture this season within our squad, and I think, you know, that's something as a captain and as a squad that I really want to encourage us to maintain, is that legacy that he's kind of created with that culture. And yeah, it's a big loss for us, but as you say, Brian coming in is a brilliant coach as well, and we've got a lot of experience with him. So to get that continuity is really important for us as well in what should be a really important year.
Best luck to Goose and whatever he does next. Now, to wrap up the episode, we'll quickly talk about John Barkley. You know, I think we've all had experience with working with John, but you know, I'll come to you first, Al, because you know you'll be played with John for a long time and know him well. You must have some good stories that you maybe could share, you couldn't share in the podcast, but just a little bit on the man himself.
He's had a brilliant career. Remember him coming in as a young fella into the Scotland squad for 17, as Mossy said earlier on. Still one of the kind of next generation who come through, and they were physically ready to be in there at 17, whereas the guys my age and before, it took a while to get up to speed. He was all the way through career consistent, and consistency sounds like an insult. It's not in the slightest. He was an exceptionally talented player, but he delivered every single thing. Plenty of stories off the field, but we'll save them. He went down to Scarlets clearly after a successful start to his career at Glasgow and did brilliantly down there. And you could see how much he meant to the Scarlets players and to the fans when he left, and he obviously signed off in a good manner. He probably frustrated with the amount of rugby he played for Edinburgh. He would have wanted to have played more. A few injuries beginning to creep in and an awful lot of competition. But yeah, all in all, a terrific player, a guy who's heart and soul in every game that he played.
Yeah, he's he was such a brilliant player, as Al says, but can you say that about a lot of people? But Barks was just such a brilliantly intelligent player in person. To have the ability to influence a game like he did from such a young age, as you say, from schoolboy coming into national. Imagine that. Imagine leaving school and you're in the national squad. It's such a massive step. But he never thought he was, because he would fit in. He would just get on with his job. But he was such an intelligent player as well. That's a thing that I really like. Not the biggest back row player. Brilliant over ball. He could play 6, 7, or 8. He could be a line option. He could distribute in the backs. He could play sevens. He could do everything because of his rugby intelligence and his intelligence as a bloke. But hard, strong, brilliant player to play alongside. A nightmare to play against. I remember holding me down a couple of times in the good old Glasgow Edinburgh derbies. No turn particularly nice for either of us. But just a brilliant player, a brilliant, intelligent player who will be successful in whatever he chooses to do.
Tough's probably one, and hard, you mentioned earlier. He was tough.
He took a few hits and dance, because he was one of the first kind of Scottish players, and it probably came from being inspired, I assume, by the kind of George Smith of Australia over the top of the ball. We didn't produce players that did that, and he came onto the scene probably, you know, in the kind of early 2000s-ish or mid-2000s, 2004, whatever. He was the first player that did that, so he was a kind of trailblazer for getting his head over the ball and getting thumped. And he was brilliant at stealing turnovers before anybody else really in Scotland. Donny McPhail.
Yeah, I agree. And a bit of nastiness in him as well, which always.
I had a wee bit of anger in him, as you can see, because he's grumpy more often than not. Yeah. But always in training. But there's a wry smile in there as well. He sometimes raises an eyebrow, and I think he quite likes being grumpy. But as I say, he'll be successful.
It's another side to him that is off the field as well. What he brings is that, you know, if there is an element of a child to John, just in his behaviour, and he was fun around the team as well. And he, you know, we saw it with these pranks with Hoggy. But you know, even if he was captain, but when he was captain, he would turn it on. But other times, he knew when to have a laugh as well, which I think is important, especially, you know, Rach, when you're involved in team culture, knowing when to have a laugh, but also knowing when to switch on. It's a good trait to have, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a massive thing, especially as someone as John was, as a leader. I think your players have a lot more respect for you if you can gauge that time to when to be serious and when to switch it off and be their teammate and their pal. So yeah, it's massive for sure. But I'm sure Al can tell you a little bit around his personality off the pitch.
He just got the balance right, didn't he? Like he definitely did like a laugh and a joke. But then he knew when to switch it on. And
he was grumpy when he was tired, though. He was one of the guys that's really grumpy. Most of us are grumpy when we're tired, but he's exceedingly grumpy when he's tired.
He was polar opposites a lot of the time, though. He was grumpy, or he was a class clown. But when he was a class clown, it was at times that it was all right to do that. I think the one thing that stands out with John is he's will to win. Like he's willingness to sacrifice for the jersey. Like he would always lead from the front, and that the same was true at training. 100% committed. I remember him it was 2011 World Cup training. Him and I came to Bowes because he was giving Dave Denton a really hard time, and Dave was a young lad at the time, and for whatever reason it escalated with John and I. But you always knew that if you gave John one, you were getting one back. Even when he was a 17-year-old, he wasn't one that you could maybe clip and you'd take it and remember it. He was coming straight back at you. The anger issue was always there. But that added to his game, and he controlled it. And he was brilliant. I'm probably more talking from a Glasgow point of view. Brilliant in those derby games as well, because he was another one that thrived on it. He loved it, and it brought the best out of him.
That's all from us this week on the Official Scottish Rugby Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. But as always, we will be back next week with more exclusive content.